Alright, time for another DraftPhysics.com video presentation. Alright, so it probably says in the Bible of Physics, you know, blessed are the noisemakers, for they shall distract everyone from the truth. And it's really just so true. It's just all about this chicanery and bullshit. So I've already pointed out how in the 1700s they did these cellulose clay experiments, and that's the whole reason there's a 1/2 mv² formula. It's because people were fooled, okay, by an experiment that shows something, but it shows it in a particular way without explaining certain dynamics like the difference between a round object and a flat object, how that's going to affect the displacement. You know, it's almost as simple as, you know, not realizing that arrows penetrate better. You know, a pointy arrow on a on your stick will make a better arrow. Simple little things. And that all of physics is just made out of these distractions, connecting water waves to light, and there's really no connection, because in the single slit, it's nowhere close, and in multi-slits, it's nowhere close. So there's a tiny little similarity in one particular view, and there they just declare, oh, it's just like, when no, it's nothing like. All right, so in this case, there's two experiments. They're nothing like each other, really. This is a completely different dynamics physically and gravitationally. And he wants to pretend, okay, to make them the same thing so he can make some sort of argument about some sort of thing called inertia, okay, that he has the delusion has something to do with reality when it doesn't. So I have simply explained and factually explained and logically explained that there's certain ways you can demonstrate that some of this physics just can't be true because it fails certain easy tests. And one of the tests I described was a lever and the fact that I could make a balance, okay, the same amount of lever on both sides, the same mass, all in the center of the lever, and it balances. No problem. And now you can put things on top of it, you can hang things from it, and it's a scale. It will measure weights. And the fact is if you put a 2 mass at this location, okay, and then you put a 1 mass out here, you'll end up creating the same weight. That is, the whatever force you push on here, these objects, if you just have the 2 mass on, it'll move a certain way. And if you just have the 1 mass on, it'll move a certain way. And those ways will be identical. You won't be able to tell them apart. So Brozo actually did this experiment with a spring over here. Okay, got a little messy. And the fact was, he got pretty close to the perfect result, which was 19 and 11, or pretty much a 2-to-1 relationship, that the half mass moves at twice the velocity of the 2 mass. And you can just understand that motion, okay, is, you can't defeat it, okay, it's a rigid bar. This end here has to move twice as much as this piece here of the bar, and the same thing happens here. When the 2 mass is here, the 2 mass bar moves just like this in the same amount of time, and when the 1 mass is out here, this moves exactly the same. This moves the same, and this moves the same. The lever actually moves the same because it's exactly the same weight. The momentum of this object is exactly the same as the momentum of this object. This has a mass of 1 and a velocity of 2. This one has a mass of 2 and a velocity of 1. And those things are equal, and you'll never tell the difference. So if you pushed on this side of the lever and somebody could switch the 1 and the 2, you wouldn't be able to tell because the weight is the same. The momentum against you is the same. The momentum being created by gravity is the same. So that's the simple contention. Now, this this liar and piece of crap as a human being, this coward who won't put his name on his piles of poo that he's plopping in the public because he is a coward to sign his shit. Anyway, says that he can take a lever and rotate it, you know, in a circle with continuous energy. That is, he's dropping a mass, okay, a specific mass, and he'll say that, well, this lever with the two moves at a different rate. You know, if I have a one and a two, or I have a two and a two, that is, if I make the lever weigh four masses, or I make the lever weigh three masses, that somehow I should expect that it rotates at the same speed. When, why would I expect that? It's a different amount of mass you're moving in total, and you're moving it this way, and you're moving it this way, and you're moving it this way, and you're moving it this way. It's a different experiment, frankly. So in no way does doing this experiment prove that this experiment, as stated, doesn't work. Now, it would be just as simple, right? He contrived a whole mechanism to do it the wrong way. He made a lever with a third bar on it and put a weight on that. He did all these, he does these experiments, and he won't do this simple one. So in the sense, you know, he's just showing how he has no sincerity here, right? He could just do two lever experiments, just plain, just the way I did them. Put the two mass and the one mass out here, okay? And then do the two mass and the two mass, and then prove that those two oscillate at a different speed when the same energy is put in. But he didn't do that. Yeah. Oh, you can't quite see the stuff down there. That is annoying. All right. So anyway, so, you know, this is totally, you know, just cheating grotesquely. The arguments being made, and, you know, they just obviously don't care about cheating. It's just about the illusion. I've pointed out so many times the whole MGH thing, how it's just absolute nonsense. You know, it's only going, so I drop something from four times the height. It only goes twice the speed. It only is in the gravity twice as long. And it only weighs, when it hits the ground, twice as much. And yet they say it has four times the energy. I mean, it's that ridiculous. It's so obviously wrong, and yet these people, these noisemakers, will keep trying to contrive fake experiments to sit there and try to indicate that there's some proof otherwise. And they have no proof. They have no evidence, because they won't do the real experiments. Again, they just try to create and contrive something that'll look just like Professor Lewin. I mean, I showed Professor Lewin doing a card experiment that makes no sense at all. And the only way he did it, okay, is that he cheated. You know, clearly the one card, he says the one card's half the mass of the other card, and it's clear it can't be. I'll beg these morons to show me how the second card could possibly weigh twice as much, just looking at them. There's no way to add it up and find that the one card could be twice as much, because it's missing features it has to have double of. Plus, the other card has clay stuck to it. I mean, it's obviously not the truth. It's obviously a contrived experiment just to sit there and validate a wrong mathematical formula. And there's no counter-argument. They don't make videos showing, here's a great defense of Professor Lewin's experiment. No, they don't show any of that. You know, they don't do any of this crap. They do, you know, in their, you know, isolated way to sit there and try to create a fake reality. And that's all it's about, is to fake it. So this is the doubling down video by the mindless liar. And, you know, so let's see what it is. Okay, so it says, as expected, he has deflected the points made. I pointed out the obvious that, you know, applying a continuous force, spinning the object, has absolutely nothing to do with balances and how you can oscillate them. Nothing. Okay, to make points made to him in the most dishonest way possible. So the dishonesty is what? He says this experiment where he's spinning something, you know, with a constant force is the same experiment as a lever where you put a force in and just let the energy oscillate. He says those two experiments are the same experiment, when, you know, obviously they're not. So who's dishonest? I mean, it's just grotesquely dishonest. So I'll have to go through the trouble of explaining step by step. Now, there won't be any explanations. He won't explain how a lever functions, how people use levers, what levers actually do, which is convert big M's and little V's into big V's and little M's. He won't in any way counter that theory of the function of a lever. Okay, he won't touch it, he won't go anywhere near it. Okay. Of explaining step by step why the experiment still debunks his failed understanding of physics. So it doesn't debunk it, it evades it entirely. Again, the experiment I'm proposing is simpler than the experiment he did, okay? It's easier to do, and he won't do it. He has to screw a third arm on, he has to fuck with it, he has to put clay on it to fake it, because he won't do the actual simple experiment I proposed. Just amazing. It is not difficult. Well, you know, whatever. So let's go through this live video. Okay, so it says here, doesn't pay attention to experiment. I think clearly you're not paying any attention to the experiment. You won't drop something. Let's just show us how. I drop something from four times the height and it weighs four times as much. It has to, frankly. Springs measure energy. Duh. What do you think a spring measures, retard? What do you think? You know, it's measuring mass and velocity, right? And it's showing you the number. And it's not a squared number. Shit. I mean, people are just so stupid. Oh, well, you're so dishonest. That's a real word to use. I should never blame it on just ignorance, because you're aggressively trying to defend absolute nonsense, and for no good reason. You have no evidence, and you just couldn't care less. Again, they've had 300 years to show us it taking four times more fuel to go twice as fast. They've had 300 years to show us something going twice as fast, doing anything four times as much. Hitting a spring and compressing it four. Now, just imagine, if something's going twice as fast and it compresses the spring four times as much. That's what it's supposed to do. And it doesn't do it. The energy never shows up. They have absolute... I can't debunk their big experiment because they don't have one. Okay. He's just defending a fable. All right. Continues to pretend like he has anything of worth to say anyways. Yeah, right. And you're pretending that you, with having no integrity, you can use somebody else's images, you can play around with this little, you know, I'm going to use somebody else's argument, okay? I'm going to put Einstein on it or whatever that guy is, the captain of the Enterprise or something else, because you can't make just a stand-up argument as a human being. Because you're weak sauce, you're weak-ass, fanatic, loser crap, and if you had any integrity, you would sign your shit. All right? This isn't, you know, it's free speech for cowards. You can say things and do things, and you won't put your name on it. You know, especially when you're making accusations about other people, you should have a little bit of integrity. And what is this idiot though? Okay, so more quote mining. You know, they can't ever just play my argument and then point out how here, that part of your argument, that's where you got it wrong. That's where you said something that's wrong. You know, they can't do it that way, where they show all the stuff I said that was right, that they have no counter argument for. Like the part where I said 1 times 2 equals 2 times 1. Yeah, they won't deal with that argument, that momentum always works. They won't deal with Professor Lewin saying nature can't finagle momentum. They won't touch any of that. What cowards. All right, let me just make sure this volume seems a little loud. Oh, God, I just hate this planet.
There's a completely different experiment where he's got a string coiled up on a cylinder and he's dropping a weight, and then he has a lever tied to it.
Right, and so obviously the weight, right, it's a tension put on the cylinder, and as the, you know, the weights, especially the imbalanced weights, are spinning, it's applying it the, you know, the amount of, it's applying a certain
consistent tension because of the weight from gravity. But the idea is that it's not going to be applying the same exact amount of pressure, because it's going to yield more in some circumstances, like when the two weights are going sideways. It's easier for it to pull. When it's pulling the weight side, the other side's probably harder to pull. So there's variation in how the question would be is whether they go the same speed once the weight has finished falling, but who knows. But anyway, it just really isn't the same experiment.
That, and then he puts the different masses on, which means that you're going to rotate them in one direction.
Okay, it's not going to oscillate. It's not an impulse. Right, so you're not transferring accelerations and decelerations. You're not doing the Newton's cradle. You're not trying to say, I got energy in one object and I'm trying to put it into another object. So it's nothing like that, where my example is exactly what it's doing. One side has to decelerate and the other side is accelerating, right? And then they both have to stop, and then it reverses direction. Because you've created a different distance in gravity, okay? One of the the masses has moved gravitationally a little farther from the center, where the other mass is moving closer to the center. And that changes, that creates the reversal in the potential energy. But anyway, it's, you don't need all those technical details to understand just how not similar the two experiments are. One of them, you're creating an oscillator to compare the weight exchanges, the energy exchanges between the two different objects. In the other one, you're just rotating a cylinder.
Experiment, it's adding more and more energy as it falls. It spins, the wheel spins faster and faster. And what are you doing? Oh, we're right back to the whole friction argument. The whole distance this way isn't...
All right, so this gets to sort of gyroscopes, and I've explained before, so I don't know, maybe this moron thinks gyroscopes are magical and they're anti-gravity devices, but I've sort of explained before that gyroscopes are really about friction. So however you're holding a gyroscope, in whatever position, you just have to figure out, well, what's the bearing's friction? Which side of the bearing is getting hit more than another side? And that'll tell you which direction the gyroscope is tending to go, what kind of direction it's putting on the arm. But again, it's a little bit of a complex argument, but it's not difficult to understand that there's no magical motion. For something to move, something has to be hitting. It has to hit something to change direction. And the only thing that can hit something is the bearing in the case of the gyroscope. There's nothing else to hit.
Going up and down, it's going sideways. So sideways, we're right back to the friction argument, where light things have less friction.
So I hope he keeps playing the video here, because this is a hugely important detail. Okay, this is another piece of my videos they don't play, they don't show, they don't deal with, because they pretend friction is the same. And this is, again, okay, you can convince the stupid and the unsophisticated with an experiment that looks like, but when you think about it, it's nothing like, right? So I've made this friction argument that friction isn't linearly symmetrical. That is, if you have a two-mass object and you have a one-mass object, you'll get a difference in friction in the sense of how they're going to roll. Now, even if because of the weight, you can sort of understand the heavy thing is getting pushed with more force per second by gravity. Heavy things collect more energy. That's why the hammer collects more energy. When it hits they fall at the same rate in the gravity, but while they're falling, they're collecting a different amount of energy. When the feather hits the moon's surface and the hammer hits the moon's surface, the hammer's going to make a big impact because it's going to release a bunch of energy it collected. And the feather's not going to make any impact at all, because it didn't collect hardly any energy at all. So gravity is pushing down. This pressure here is a higher pressure, better contact. So I've compared it to like electrical contact. The more you're physically connect, the more wattage you can get across a contact. Okay, you get better better adhesion. The two things are connected better, therefore more can seep through. And that's the same thing with rolling friction. The heavier the object, the more it's losing energy to friction, the quicker, more bigger arrows. The lighter it is, okay, obviously, the less it's losing per inch just from its weight. Now, velocity is essentially the same as weight, as we've gone over. So if you have a velocity in this direction, so if I have the same object and I move it twice the speed, okay, across the surface, now we have the optical illusion, okay, that with twice the speed it goes maybe four, maybe five, maybe six times the distance. It rolls much further. So with 2x, it rolls really far. With 1x, okay, so 2x the speed, you can see all that, right? Yeah. So with 1x, it only goes this tiny distance. That's it. Okay, and with 2x, it goes four times further. So yeah, that looks like, right, if we're just going to be simpletons and morons like a Pyrrho, and we're going to look at water waves or something, and we're going to be a little moron. Well, yeah, if you're a moron, okay, you can say, yeah, it looks like. But if you're a scientist, right, and you pay any attention to all the work that Newton actually did 300 years ago, right, in the dark, you know, I mean, in a primitive world, they could still find the truth when they were looking for it. But people aren't looking for the truth anymore. They're looking for a lie to live by. So, I mean, this simple experiment, Newton could dissect it, Galileo could dissect it. Galileo did the experiments over and over again just to show the point. And what you find is that, oh, this isn't linear at all, because this doesn't go half the speed until it gets here, okay, which is the same distance as this one. So it doesn't go the same speed as this one started with until it gets all the way here, 3/4 down the track. So it's 3/4 down the track before it's going half the speed, before this energy will equal this energy. And what's the difference here, this big giant pile? Well, that's because of the higher velocity. It's making less contact with the surface, and less contact with the surface means it's losing less to gravity. So it loses the same amount of energy, half the energy, here, as it lost in this little tiny space. And the same thing happens when they're falling. It gains the same energy as it's falling. Whoops, I did it exactly backwards to do the falling example. It loses the same energy here. It gains the same energy in this little first little tiny bit of distance it falls. And in the second, it falls this giant distance. But it gains the same energy. Just 1 unit of energy here, 1 unit of energy here, 2 total units of energy. That's the reality. But again, this proves it right here. This 3/4 thing shouldn't exist, okay? The halfway shouldn't be 3/4 down the track. It proves the fact that it's losing less here. Friction is taking less of the energy because it's moving through the friction faster. It's going through the contact faster. It's exposed to the friction. Okay, this is 1 second. This is 1 second. It takes 1 second to do this. It takes 1 second to do that. Same amount of time to do this, 3 times the distance. 3 times the distance in exactly the same amount of time as 1. You can figure this out. You can intuitively understand the faster you go through a paint sprayer, the less paint gets on you. That's the same theory here. All right, now they won't touch this argument. They won't go anywhere near it because it's absolutely correct. Friction isn't a per foot force, and gravity isn't a per foot force. It's about time. MGT. Now, they won't touch that. They won't touch that. You know, light things going fast lose less energy per foot to friction than slow things going, you know, things going, heavy things going slow. So a 2-mass and a 1-mass. So a 2-mass will... I shouldn't bother changing the masses because I don't need to change the mass to make the argument. You don't need to have a heavier thing. As long as it's one going faster and one going slower, the fact is that you will see what Galileo discovered, 1, 3, 5, 7. that the amount of distance you traverse in the same amount of time, okay, will be increasing exponentially.
Lose more energy to the ground, okay, because it's touching the ground more.
Well, there's nothing to see except my video, but we might as well put that on.
There's more contact with the ground, and it's, because of its slow velocity, there's more contact. So not only is there more contact because it weighs more, its slower movement means there's...
So let's understand, I don't make scripted videos, and so, yeah, sometimes I say things not perfectly. So here I shouldn't have made two comparisons, one with more weight and more with more velocity. But they're basically the same thing. That's what momentum tells you, that mass equals velocity. That the two things are equal contributors to something's energy. You can't have energy without matter, mass, and you can't have energy without velocity. And they're in equal proportions, equal importance.
More contact per foot.
Yeah. There was no friction in the downward direction. It was only pushing sideways, no friction on any bearing. So when you turn a gear, there's no friction. So this is just, I'm just pointing out that there's only one explanation for it changing how fast it moves, and that is it's changing how it affects the bearing. So, frankly, the all the drag is coming from the bearing. There's no other place for the drag to be coming from the object. So say if I'm spinning some wheel, the only way the wheel's weight is known to, anything is through the bearing. That's the only thing slowing it down. Friction for the weight you have when you're going sideways. But look, the point is when you're dropping something in gravity and using dropping it in gravity to extract some energy, you're extracting it by slowing it down. So you can understand if I drop a battery, it drops really fast, okay? It's only in the gravity for a tiny amount of time, right? So it's a very small amount of time it's in the gravity collecting any energy. And then if I tie a string to it and force it to do work, well, now it's falling much slower. So it's in the gravity much longer, which means it's collecting more energy. And where does that energy go? It goes into turning whatever it is you're slowing it down with. So if I used friction and I let it rub against the surface as it fell, I can make it slow down. Well, that means it has more energy because it's falling longer in the gravity. But the more energy, the trick is the more energy is going into the heating you're creating through the friction. Unlike his experiment.
Gary, this is how people...
Right now, you're pushing into the Earth, and the Earth is pushing you back. You're clearly creating heat in the Earth. You're causing the molecules to move. You're agitating them there. You're creating more pressure. Under your feet is higher pressure than would be there if your feet weren't there hitting the ground. You are taking the energy from gravity, it's going through you, and it's going into the ground. And then the ground obviously pushes you back.
Can know you don't give honest criticisms.
All right, so to say there's anything dishonest is just such a weak, it's just such a weak accusation. I've been doing this for 10 years, all right? There's nothing dishonest. I'm not cheating your argument in some way. I'm not sitting here quote mining your videos or anybody else's videos. I'm dealing directly with the points being made. Where are you doing that here? You've evaded all of my best points, all right? And here you're taking some obscure point, and then you're changing the experiment to a different experiment and saying somehow it's the same experiment, and you're proving something, when it's not even close. It's not even close.
If your criticism about friction was actually correct, then the setup with 2x masses on both sides would have moved slower, not...
It would have moved slower, but the masses are closer to the center of the wheel. So I didn't make some argument that all wheels, it doesn't matter where you put the mass, whether you put it on the outside of the wheel or the inside of the wheel, it spins at the same rate. I didn't make that argument.
Oy. Faster, because it is the heavier setup. In fact, the setup number 2 with less overall mass ends up moving slower. And setup number 3 with even less mass, with 1x mass at 2x distance on both ends, moves even slower. This is
So again, this movement is all being created, okay, because he has a string wrapped around this thing that's pulling down on it. So something's gravitationally falling, and he's converting that energy into the rotation. Okay, hardly an oscillating pendulum or scale. Hardly a nice confined energy experiment. Hardly a Newton's cradle.
Exactly opposite to what your criticism implies. You don't give honest criticisms.
Oh, whatever. So again, you don't honestly take my words and then show what I did as being wrong, okay? I stated you wouldn't be able to tell the difference if I put a 1 mass at the right location on a lever and a 2 mass at the right location, okay, where they weigh, okay, where they're weigh the same on a scale. And in no way did you demonstrate I was in any way incorrect to say you couldn't tell the difference, that no instrument could tell the difference, that the force is exactly the same, the weight is exactly the same, there's no way to make the weight anything different, it is the same weight. And you're pretending, okay, that somehow you've debunked that statement or shown that it's incorrect by doing an experiment that really can't be stated to have any connection whatsoever. This is worse than comparing water waves to light. It's nonsense. It's such a cheat. All right, so what is this?
I would have been interested in an earnest or honest criticism.
No, you haven't been interested in that from the very beginning. You've been slandering me from the very beginning, so bullshit on any of this crap that you're trying to do anything honest. It's so dishonest, okay, to put a third bar on a simple fucking lever and then tell me you're doing the same experiment. I mean, it's so fucking dishonest to say those are the same thing. I mean, fuck.
But you don't do that. You just...
All right, no, it's my accusation to you, okay? And you're the coward who hasn't signed your name to any of this or put your face on any of these fucking accusations you make. All right, you're the fucking noisemaker, you're the clock stopper, you're the fucking inquisitionist, you're the lying propagandist for a fucking broken fable, okay, that has no connection to reality. You haven't addressed any of the points I've made about gravity, how it works, or how friction fucking goddamn works. You're never going to show it taking 4 times more, four times more fuel to go twice as fast. You're never going to show that, ever, because it doesn't fucking happen. You're never going to show something falling in gravity from 4 times the height, making 4 times the energy in the ground. You're never going to show these experiments because it doesn't fucking happen, and that's the goddamn truth. You've had 300 fucking years to come up with some experimental evidence, and oh, what do you have? Professor Lewin sticking blobs of clay on fucking air carts. That's what you fucking have. You have lies and deception. And that's all you're defending, you fucking piece of shit.
Waste everyone's time needlessly. You didn't do your due diligence and...
Oh, yeah, so it's your due diligence to fucking fraud an experiment. Take an experiment that's so fucking goddamn simple. Again, can you get any simpler than just create a fucking goddamn lever? Put a weight on here and then press on it. Put a weight on here and then press on it. And then tell me you can tell the fucking difference, you liar. Yeah, no, you didn't do that experiment.
Actually try to think about the experiment. You just threw crap at the wall hoping to see what sticks.
Yeah, that's all you're doing. It's disgusting crap, too. And you, unlike me, aren't putting your reputation at stake. You, unlike me, aren't offering to pay $3,000 to be debunked by somebody honest, by somebody with a reputation to defend. You piece of shit. You're just talking shit because you're allowed to, and that's it. You know, because of imperfections in the justice system, you're allowed to be a slandering, lying little toad.
And it miserably failed. But by all means, why don't you explain to the world how more weight and friction do the exact opposite of what they usually do?
Okay, so I've made the analogy right here, right? I mean, I pointed it out and said, look, go ahead, do the experiment. Roll your object and then measure its velocity, okay? So go ahead, push something at twice the velocity and watch it go four times as fast. But measure its velocity and see that, oh yeah, it only reaches half its speed after it's traveled three quarters of the distance. Exactly duplicating what Galileo stated over, like, 400 years ago. Yeah, fuck you.
Here is something else you could have done if you had any integrity or carefulness or diligence.
So we're not seeing... Yeah, I already told you what you could have done. You could have done an honest lever experiment like I had done it. You could have shown how, well, look, Gary, if you just take your lever, okay, I can make it do blah, blah, blah. But you didn't do that. You contrived a nonsense experiment completely unrelated to the argument I made about the impulse force, the weight... Okay, being transferred between one object and another.
You could have noticed that the difference in motion between the two setups existed already before the rods went vertical.
Yeah, whatever. Again, it's the fact is that they weigh the same. Now, you're going to tell me that there's some reason I should say they don't weigh the same. Obviously, you're not using an impulse to move them. You're not creating a static circumstance. You're spinning the entire device. Now, I'm not an expert on every bit of the mechanics of the entire device, but I'm just making the simple argument that's hardly the same experiment. How fast the thing drops in gravity, how much energy it puts into the object, I am saying overtly to you that obviously I would guess that when the masses are closer to the fulcrum, okay, they obviously weigh less, and so when you're first turning the two mass, it's got to be heavier than lighter than the one mass on the outside, just because there's more lever connected to the object. There's more mass it has to go through, so it can create more friction because the weight gets through the entire bar. I don't know. So, okay. So, yes, this the heavier one, the one with the two mass closer to the fulcrum is, in fact, tipping a little faster. And all it means is, what does that also mean? We know exactly the same amount of string is going for the amount it tips. So the more it tips, it means the object that's the weight is falling less distance. So the weight fell less distance here. That's the truth of it, right? The weight actually fell less distance. Okay, well, you can see that there's no other possibility. It has to fall. No, it fell more distance here. So the two masses ahead, it's went further. So the mass has actually fallen further in this example than in this example. So it hasn't given as much energy to the spinning wheel that you've created. But again, what are you really created? You've created something with one situation has 4 units of mass on the wheel. The other situation has 3 units of mass on the wheel. Now, if you were to ask me before you'd ever did the experiment, here's 2 wheels. One weighs 4 pounds, one weighs 3 pounds. And do you think they will spin at a different rate when I put a gravitational weight on them to spin them? I would have guessed yes. Yeah. So it has nothing to do with my experiment.
Even before the quarter turns were made, you could already see the difference in position and motion.
So he's taking this little minutia point, this tiny minutia point, and he's saying this proves that when I put a one mass twice the distance out, unlike Hooke's law and all this other stuff, it doesn't weigh the same. It's not the same weight. If I put a weight on the other side of the scale, it won't weigh the same. When, no, we know it weighs exactly the same.
In his response, he says that in the gear example, he only talked about what happens after a quarter turn.
Even the gear, I use the gear example. I mean, come on, I ought to know. I drew it, right? So I use the gear just as a thrower, right? Like you turn it and you'll take an object that's here and you'll throw it horizontally because Brozo was doing a bunch of launching experiments, right? So that's all I used it for, was the fact that you can think of the same thing. Gears, you know, you have a 1 gear, you know, 1-inch gear, and then you could have a 2-inch gear. And the difference is it's twice the distance that you're going to be
the object is going to be going twice the velocity. So if the two gears were stuck to each other, there's no way you could undo the fact that one gear will move one distance, you know, one amount of distance, one unit of distance, and the other gear will move 2 units of distance. And you couldn't change that fact. And so it would be the same thing as a lever, essentially. That's all the argument was for, is just churning the motion in this direction into motion sideways. I mean, what a liar to imply anything else was being argued. Example, you know, if you were to use a gear, I pointed out clearly in the gear example, you're only doing a quarter turn. You're only converting this direction into that direction, and that's it. You're letting it fly off the gear. You know, so even when I used a circular device, I conditioned the circuit. All these arguments are based on basically launching things eventually, right? The whole point is to talk about what does it take to get things free from the device you're doing the conversion so you can measure what it does, right? It's really hard to measure something when it's still connected to a spring. We want to know what it would do if it's liberated, okay? Whether it gets all the energy. So that's the whole point of all of these examples is ideally, you know, we'd want to be able to confine the object to moving in one dimension. So even when you're doing a lever experiment, there's a little bit of angular rotation. I mean, ideally, you want to just flip things straight up and straight down. So you'd have them in some kind of confinement so they would just go up and down and not waste any motion going sideways. I mean, all those are idealizations for these experiments. But again, he's just pretending all of that wasn't made clear somewhere. When, of course, that was part of the argument from the very beginning. Particular device to a certain function. So he's spinning things again.
Okay, so let's review. One,
all right,
his argument about friction.
So again, obviously, because of that change in the rotation, a different amount of energy went into the object. The weight has fallen less distance. Can't be the same amount of energy if you're falling less distance in the same amount of time. So obviously some different amount of energy was extracted from the weight. The weight has more potential in it on the object that didn't turn as much. There's still more potential gravitational energy in that weight. So clearly a different amount of energy went in. So clearly it has nothing to do with my lever experiment where you put a constant, a standard amount of energy in. The same amount of energy. Like Brozo's experiment with the spring. It's the same amount of energy that both objects get. Obviously in that experiment, the same energy wasn't going into those systems. The difference in the speed of rotation is proving you're not putting the same energy in at the same rate. You're putting a different amount of pressure on, a different amount of torque on the wheel, okay, dependent on how much it has to turn. So, I mean, just pretend. I mean, again, it's just such an obvious distortion, an obvious lie.
Fails, because the experiment shows the heavier setup speeding up faster, and friction doesn't make heavier things move fast.
So, again, it's closer to the fulcrum, so we know that those things spin faster. This is back to the skater argument, So it's lighter in the sense that the weight is closer to the fulcrum. And clearly you can't deny the fact that the one object has consumed less energy. There's more gravitational potential in the weight. The weight is also not falling at the same rate. If you had the weights in the video, they didn't fall the same distance in the same time. Obviously, meaning you gave the two objects different amounts of energy. So obviously quite different from the experiment I proposed.
Faster. Two, there is a difference in position and motion of the rods of the setup even before the rods went vertical and a quarter turn was made. With this out of the way, it stands to ask, why does it matter whether the force was applied for a millisecond, 10 milliseconds, 100 milliseconds, 1 second, or 10 seconds?
So he's just, again, we're back to the friction argument. Why does it matter? Why does time matter? Well, because gravity is a force applied per millisecond, okay? It's a time-dependent force. It's a sprayer of energy, as I've said 4 million times. You point out how that can't be true. you show me any experiment ever conducted by humankind, that is flying into space, orbiting moons, you show me one example where the gravity doesn't work exactly as I've proposed, that it works exactly as if it was just about time. How long are you in the force will decide how much force affects you.
What difference does it make when it comes to examining the relationship between force, torque, and velocity?
If in gravity, it makes all the difference.
If you say, you can't tell the difference between the two setups just by applying a force for 1 second, why will that change if you apply a force for 1 second two consecutive times? Or...
So now we're at a complex word problem. Okay, so if you say you can tell the difference between two setups just by applying a force for 1 second, I'm saying by sensing its weight. We can sense weight. We're capable of doing it. We can sense how much pressure something has. So if you put a 1 pound object in my hand and then put a 2 pound object in my hand, I'll be able to tell the difference. All right, so that's part of the answer to your question. And again, that's exactly what I was getting to, is that you won't be able to tell the difference between the one mass twice the distance and the two mass one distance, because it weighs the same. I'll say it over and over again. It has exactly the same momentum. You are resisting the same exact gravitationally produced momentum. Gravity is producing a momentum. It's pushing it into the rod, and constantly the rod is pushing it back. You will feel, okay, that momentum.
Three consecutive times. You can't say friction, because if friction was at play, then the heck...
Friction's always at play when anything contacts anything, okay? So even when two magnets, you know, their force is applied to each other, it's friction, okay? Any contact between an object and a force, or an object and an object, is friction. Any contact is friction.
A heavier setup would not have moved faster. And even then we could see the two setups deviating even before the rods become vertical. The difference in motion between the two setups is clear.
Right, and the difference amount of energy that the two setups have are consuming per second is clear by the fact that the weights are dropping at a different rate, proving that there can't be the same energy going into both systems.
Now let's get to his main argument, that somehow it makes a difference that I had my lever rotate and make full turns with a constant torque applied.
So again, it's when we say constant torque applied, that's the catch, right? Because obviously it's not a constant torque applied, because one weight is falling faster than the other weight. So it can't be applying the same torque. Dear.
But again, how does it make any difference? Your thought experiment where you apply the torque momentarily is just the same as mine, but...
No, so he's saying again, it's the same thing. Oscillating a lever, a scale, is the same thing as rotating a wheel with a force that doesn't stop. That is a force that you push right through. You only push in one direction. So an impulse force, a force you put in for a confined amount of time, a confined amount of force applied by like a spring or some mechanism that stored energy, and you just put that much energy in, no more, is the same thing as something where you're spinning it faster and faster and faster. Same experiment. It's not the same experiment. It's just ludicrous. This is just so pitifully, desperately silly that I should have to sit there and debunk an experiment that really has nothing to do with my experiment. The physical dynamics are not the same.
Restricted to a narrow time interval. And even then, the experiment I have shown reveals a difference in motion before the rods even have a chance to make 90 degree turn.
Right, so this whole video could have just been written, right? There's no video here. So he hasn't upped the game at all. He's just restating his argument that somehow his rotational experiment is the same as my simple lever experiment, and that there's some reason why this shows better how my experiment fails by doing a completely different experiment. So even though my experiment is much simpler and easier to perform, he won't perform it. Again, he won't do the balancing lever without the stick on it.
and you won't do the balancing lever without the string rolled around the bearing. No, he won't do it the way I described it, because that would show me right, and he can't, you know, he's not going to show that I'm right.
So your complaint doesn't even apply. You can take my experiment, restrict it to the first 2 seconds, and it would end up equivalent.
Right, so we're talking about a scale, and we're not talking about rotating it, okay? We're not talking about rotating a scale.
Yeah, so I've already made this point, right? I mean, is it? Can you make it any clearer? These are not the same experiments.
Okay, we're talking about a balance, and we're talking about your pushing on the balance and seeing how heavy the other side is. And the argument remains valid, okay?
It's momentum against momentum. It's doing exactly what the Newton's cradle does. All you're doing is transferring the energy from one side to the other side, okay, through this mechanism. And levers allow you to do uneven momentum, mass to velocity ratios. So where you have a certain amount of momentum go in, you can't conserve the momentum in a Newton's cradle. I mean, you can conserve it in the wrong directions, of course. But you can't conserve it in the same direction with uneven masses. But the lever allows you to do that. You can go from big M to little and little V to big V and little M and conserve the energy. That they haven't touched. They'll never touch it because it's absolutely correct. That's exactly what the levers do. They convert the arrangement of mass and velocity as components of a momentum that is conserved. I set up this circumstance with the two mass here and the one mass out here, and it clearly creates insane disproportions in kinetic energy. You end up creating free energy in one direction, and you end up losing insane amounts of energy in the opposite direction. Kinetic energy completely fails to describe the actual circumstance, because clearly no energy could be lost or the oscillator would stop oscillating. The fact that the oscillator continues to oscillate proves that the energy is being conserved, and it's being conserved completely as momentum, and it's completely not being conserved as kinetic energy. The argument's clear, it's decisive. They'll never counter-argue it because it's an absolute fact of existence in this universe. And instead of dealing with that specific argument, he keeps trying to pervert my words and, you know, into some other statement. You're not going to be able to tell the difference, because this part will move exactly the same if the two masses here or the one mass is that. Okay, seriously, says, it's worth pointing out. Why is he asserting this unproven claim as fact? Because I am absolutely certain of its truth. Partly because I have done the experiment, okay? So I have an advantage over you in the sense that, yes, I did put weights on the lever that I made, and I hit the other side and said, yep, feels the same to me, okay, first off. But it's, again, you can just watch it happening. You can just watch the lever moving, and you can understand there's no options. There's no theoretical option. Okay, so this is a good point to state. I have been begging for them to talk theory, and they won't do it. All right, so there's just no theoretical way out of the argument. Now, maybe I'm a poor spokesperson. I haven't said it clearly enough. I haven't made it understood clearly. I've done it 100 times at least, okay, where I've pointed out this. I did it earlier in this video, in fact, but I'll do it one more time. So I have a balance. It's a balance, okay? It's perfectly balanced. There's the same weight on both sides. It's perfect little lever, okay? And so I just do this simple thing. I put a two mass here, and I put a two mass exactly the same difference, distance. Now, if I don't put the same difference, it doesn't balance, not a balance. I break the scale. And so whether I use baskets or I just hang it above, I mean, I use below, so we should probably just hang the weights to be precise, right? So we'll hang the weights instead of putting them on top. So I have a two and a two, all right? And it balances. If I move the two, it won't balance. If I put less weight, it won't balance. Okay, it'll tip. All right. So we know that's how it works.
Okay, there's no doubt about that working. That's thousands of years old, reliable, this works. Okay, so the simple argument is when it's balanced, we know that lots of experimentalists have basically proven this fact, so I don't have to just say it as a lone outsider. There's Hooke, there's lots of people who will tell you that there's a real specific equation that can be drawn that you just add this distance as a mass. So if I go two distances, I'll double that. It's mass times that number. So whatever distance I go, I just add that number. I mean, I multiply that number times the mass. I'm just increasing the mass by the distance. So a one mass weighs the same as the two mass, and it will balance perfectly, as I showed. It will oscillate perfectly. I put energy in, the energy will go into gravity, and then back out of gravity, and then back into gravity, and back out of gravity. It's a battery. It just keeps taking the energy from one side, putting it into gravity on the other side, then doing the inverse. So it just oscillates using gravity as a battery, essentially, just storing the energy in the battery of gravity. All right. And it'll oscillate back and forth, not losing any energy. This will move one distance. This will move two distances in the same time. This will definitely have twice the velocity that this object has throughout the whole oscillating process. And in that argument, I have pointed out the obvious, that this movement of the lever right here, if I just look at this piece of the lever, this little cross, and I just watch that cross and I don't watch anything else, it'll move identically when I have the two mass here, okay, as when I have the one mass here. If that cross, if I just watch that cross, it doesn't matter, and I oscillate it with the same oscillation, that is, I put the same displacement of the scale, all right, now it's going to oscillate because of that displacement. This cross will not change. So I can take that spot and I can watch it, and it'll move exactly the same distance and time. It'll just keep doing the same thing because it's the same thing. Okay, it's the same weight. It's moving. This side is saying, what do I see when I look over here? What do I see? Okay, what's it viewing when it looks over here? It sees exactly the same thing. It only sees the weight. It doesn't see the mass. It sees the weight of the object. That's what it sees, just the weight. And it's just going to deal with that weight. It's not going to deal with anything else. All right. But who cares? I mean, you'll really, let's say that's wrong. Okay, and it somehow doesn't. It reacts different to the same weight. You can't change the fact that this is moving twice as fast. Okay, this is moving twice the velocity, all right, as the two mass moved. Okay, so what, I have a two mass over here. It's moving this velocity on the other side of the lever. So just looking at it this way, you can't change that this is moving twice the distance. I did it with a 4-to-1 ratio, right? So it moved 4 times the distance. I mean, it's quite obvious it's moving 4 times the velocity, because in the same time it moves this distance over here, it moves this distance over here. So you can't deny this is going twice as fast. So the basic argument is we ignore the lever and we just say, what are the weights doing in space? Well, what the weights are doing in space is this weight, okay, is moving twice the velocity. So a one mass is going 2 velocity. And over here, a two mass is going 1 velocity. There's no denying the momentums are perfect, that it makes perfect sense that it would oscillate. And that the kinetic energy theory completely fails, because over here I have, twice the energy is the argument. There's twice the energy over on this side somehow. Somehow it oscillates with twice the energy over here, that is impact energy. If I let the lever bang into something, I'm supposed to get 100 joules, let's say, over on this side. And when this side bangs into something, I'm going to get 50 joules of heat, of power, of force. Do you really believe that there's only 50 over here and there's 100 over on this side of the oscillator? I mean, that's the real kill you point. You're not going to undo that fact. Your fake energy is shown itself to be fake. This is fake. There's no such thing. All there is momentum. The momentum gets the right answer. The fake kinetic energy theory gets the wrong answer. And that's the big point being missed.
is momentum accurately describes the circumstance, kinetic energy makes no sense at all. I mean, the oscillator is oscillating. You get me? You can't do fudge the math. So the math says there's twice as much energy on one side of the lever where the mass is moving. The mass is moving with twice as much energy on one side as it's moving on the other side. That's what their theory says, overtly. In spite of what it looks like, in spite of the fact that it's oscillating perfectly, you're supposed to believe that 200 joules of energy goes up into gravity on one side and only 100 goes up into gravity on the other side. And somehow the battery works. But somehow the oscillator keeps oscillating. It's such a nonsense. Out here, this part has to move exactly the same. So again, he just keeps doing his fake experiment, has nothing to do with my experiment, and says, look, that's the same thing Gary described. This is just a plain lever. I'm tipping just a plain lever. No, this is a lever on a spool, okay, with a weight putting the energy in. So again, nothing to do with my experiment. Nothing to do with the oscillator I described. It's just, it's just so dishonest. All right, here. Oh, well, I should read it since he didn't read that crap. How do these rods know whether they're in a rotating experiment or an oscillating experiment ahead of time? They don't. You're applying the energy the wrong way, you fuckhead. Okay, you're applying the torque unevenly. In the two experiments, more energy is being put into one's rotation than the other rotation. And they tell the difference, I suspect, again, based on the whole how much distance there actually is between the actual center of mass. The center of mass is moving as you turn the object. You're changing the actual distance from the center of mass to the fulcrum.
A difference is still revealed. We have a balanced lever that starts out horizontal, and we apply a torque. And we see there is a difference.
Okay, we apply a non-constant torque. Both experiments won't be being applied the same torque. That's clearly illustrated by the fact that the weight falls at a different rate. So the rate is falling at a different rate, proving that the energy being consumed by the wheel, the wheel is getting, is a different amount of energy. Can't be the same torque if they're consuming a different amount of energy.
Between the setups in just the first 2 seconds. If we cut the constant torque at that point, the difference in motion would still be there. There's no way around that. You are the one who keeps asserting.
So again, the way around it is to just say quit using gravity as a source of energy and use some other device like a spring or some other mechanism where you can guarantee that it can move the object at whatever speed you need, fast or slow. Clearly, the torque of using gravity, the weight of gravity, to the momentum of gravity to push the objects isn't able to give the one wheel the same speed as it gave the other wheel.
No one can tell the difference between the two setups just by applying forces, but just applying the force for 1 or 2 seconds is enough, whether it's a gear or a lever.
So again, he keeps asserting a fact he hasn't proven or demonstrated, so he won't do the experiment that's simple. He'll do a more complex experiment. Why? Yeah, because the simple experiment will not fail. Okay? The fact is that you won't be able to tell the difference because the weight's the same, and you're not going to tell the difference if the weight's the same. If we just made a pendulum and swung it into you, okay, and we take a 100-pound object, and we move it twice as fast and just have it hit a steel wall, and now the wall's going to push into you. It just wouldn't matter whether I hit with a 200-pound object going 1 mile an hour or I hit with a 100-pound object going 2 miles an hour. They're going to impart the same force, the same pressure crushing you. It's just that you have to convert the velocities and the mass into a constant velocity and mass, through some sort of mechanism that can do the conversions.
obviously we can tell the difference between the recoil of the gun and a bullet hitting us. The two things won't damage us the same way. But the fact is, they have the same capacity to push matter in the universe. They just do it differently. That is, they give the little tiny space of atoms where the bullet hits me, they give those atoms a lot of energy, where the gun is spreading the energy over a whole bunch of atoms, 1,000 times more atoms. That's the difference. But it's the same energy. 100 people moving 1 mile an hour is the same as one person moving 100 miles an hour. Same fucking energy.
Back up your claim with no evidence, and even worse, you're provably wrong.
Right,
so when you say no one could...
There's no proof. He didn't show anyone telling the difference. He didn't show the experiment as described in any way whatsoever. So it's just a lie.
Tell the difference using forces, I, and plenty of people that know basic physics, can do it easily.
Why didn't you do
Remember, I was testing his claim about the relationship between torque applied and the resulting motion based on different mass configurations. It is very clear he thought...
It's very clear you evaded my experiment, did a completely different experiment, and are trying to claim the two experiments are the same experiment. And they're not. That's what's clear. It's like Brozo dropping his little round objects into clay and saying it's the same thing. It's not the same thing.
Thought having the mass and doubling the radial distance would result in the same motion for the same given torque applied. His complaint that this is not exactly the same setup he drew is very super...
It's not anywhere close to the same setup I drew. It's not anywhere close. Clearly, I'm saying the force has to get into the lever, so you're putting in a fixed amount of energy into the oscillator. It's a fixed amount of energy. There's no extra energy. There's no change in the amount of energy. It's not dropping a weight on a string that's creating different amounts of transfer of energy. It's exactly the same amount of energy.
Superficial, because he was making a claim about the fundamental relationship between torque and motion, and I was testing that fundamental relationship. Will he acknowledge...
So, I never talked about torque, never bothered with any of that. I use simple language. It's about weight. There's no torque. There's just weight. That's it. And how fast you can apply it. For how much time does the weight decrease really quickly? Like you hit something with 9 pounds, but it's a very weak 9 pounds of pressure because you're hitting with a very small amount of weight behind it. So we all know that momentum is sort of about that kind of thing, like the big giant steel ball rolling versus a rubber ball rolling or a ball full of air rolling. That one of them will apply a force that will be a millisecond of energy, where the other one's going to apply a force over a much longer period of time and convey a much higher wattage of energy. So if you just use the analogy to wattage, amperage, and volts, they don't square volts, and they don't square the voltage for a good goddamn reason, because it would make no sense, just as it makes no sense to square the velocity.
That pressing a lever with a 1x mass at 2x distance is harder, in the sense that it takes more energy and longer time to get the same rotational velocity for the same torque than...
All right, so again, he said same torque, when we know it can't be the same torque. We know the same energy didn't come out of the object creating the energy. The object creating the energy didn't fall as far, therefore you can't say it's the same torque. So lie some more.
Pressing a lever with a 2x mass at 1x distance? Because apart from the friction argument, which was shown to be wrong, he doesn't have any argument.
So he didn't show the friction argument wrong. The only thing that can possibly be slowing the wheel down or changing how fast the object falls is friction. There's nothing else. There's no other source of the change in the energy distribution. The only way the energy didn't get into the one wheel and it got into the other wheel is because one wheel has better adhesion. It has better contact and therefore can get more energy into the wheel, and the other wheel has less. And that's the only thing that can make a difference, is how do you getting wattage from one place to another place? All that matters is the contact of the wire.
why my experiment doesn't demonstrate that. Anyways, I wanted to expound more on why this experiment, even if you make all these superficial attempts at distancing yourself from them, debunked...
I'm not distancing myself from them at all. I'm saying quite overtly it's not the same experiment. Not anywhere fucking close.
The ideas that E equals MGT and E equals MV. For the sake of easier exposition, I will compare setup number 1 to setup number 3, where in number 3 both weights have half the mass and double the distance. In both setups, the hanging weight pulls on the bearing, giving it constant torque.
Alright, so again, he says it's a constant torque, but obviously it's not giving him a constant amount of energy. So there's no point in using, you know, language like this. We know you're putting less energy into one than the other, because you only have one source of the potential for the energy, and that is the falling of the mass. Clearly, the mass has fallen more in one case, meaning you've lost more gravitational potential energy, and in the other case, the mass has fallen less, which means you've lost less of your gravitational potential energy. You've given less energy to one wheel than the other wheel. That's a fact.
According to Gary, the energy due to gravity is MGT. This means that after the same amount of time, we should see the same energy put into the setups. Okay.
Okay, so this again is just stupid, because obviously that's in free fall. So obviously objects, as Galileo showed, I can put them on a steep ramp, I can put them on a long ramp, I can put them on a really long ramp. What he's saying is the proportions will be exactly the same, but in fact you're going to be creating a lot more friction and heat in the long ramp than you created in the shorter and shorter ramps. You're going to be putting more energy into the wooden surface or whatever you use as a ramp. So the quicker it falls, the less contact you have with the ramp. Like I make a ramp that's almost vertical. Tiny little bit of contact, tiny amount of heat. Lost. Okay, so all of the gravitational energy almost goes to the ground, and almost none of it is wasted or goes into the wood. The more, the steeper I make the ramp, the more it changes how long it takes, but all of the extra time, all of the energy from the extra time in the gravity is going into the ramp. None of it is going into the rolling object. The rolling object doesn't get any more energy. It has a final velocity that's the same, because the final velocity of its rotation has, the time has changed exactly proportional to the distance changing.
So at time t, setup number 1 and setup number 3 have the same energy. Now the bearing and rods of the setups are the same.
So let's understand that, but obviously the amount of distance the weight has fallen are not the same. So obviously not the same energy went into both wheels.
However, the weights in setup number 3 have half the masses and are at double the radial distances. This means that if energy were E equals MV, then we would expect the entire setup to have exactly the same rotational velocity, as the weights would have had half the masses but double.
So again, it's not the same energy being transferred by the same problem that the Newton's cradle has. I'm just saying when you create the oscillator, you destroy that problem because you're, you know, what you do this way, you give back that way. So it undoes. But if you go rotating it, then you're not doing that anymore, and so now you're not having balanced amounts of friction in both directions. You're changing the friction argument by having it all going in one direction. You can sort of understand if something has to go and decelerate, and then it accelerates, and then decelerates, and then accelerates, and then decelerates, that's even. If all it's doing is accelerating, that's not the same experiment at all.
Double the velocities, yielding exactly the same total energy. But this is not what we see. Setup number 3 lags behind, and the reason it lags behind is that for the same energy, having the masses for the same energy...
Okay, so he says the same energy. So let's just understand, he's claiming that even though the mass fell further, it's the same energy. It can't help but falling further because you've rotated the cylinder more. More string has come off the cylinder. Clearly, it's fallen further. And he's saying that even though now the mass went from these two different positions, right? The falling mass has these two different positions. He's saying this amount of fall and this amount of fall is the same energy. So, too stupid or what? I mean, is that an undefendable claim? Yes. So he can't claim he put the same energy into these two mechanisms. They don't have the same energy. The same energy did not go into them in the same time.
Does not double the velocity, and you can see this in the experiment. Thus, this experiment overall is inconsistent with Gary's E equals MV and E equals
M. No, so it's not inconsistent at all. You've started with a false premise that you're putting the same energy into the experiment. It's not the same amount of energy. It's not going in at the same rate. That's a fact, demonstrable, provable. So false premise, false argument completely. You're an arrogant, dumbass douche, okay? And so live with that, fuckhead. All right, for the rest of your slimy, stinking, rotten existence, you can just say, oh yeah, I was a dupe who propagandized for a fable. That's your contribution to the human race, is I kept it stupid and dumb. I did everything I could to keep it dumb and stupid and ignorant. Bravo, fuckhead. I mean, really, you deserve a urinal on your grave. I mean, really, people should just piss on your grave forever. Just to point out a bit of humility. Don't be an asshole. That should be the lesson learned. Don't be a mindless marbles, stupid fucking cunt.
MGT nonsense. He can continue to spout it, and at the end of the day, all it will show is that he is no better than any...
All that will be shown is they will not provide a single piece of experimental evidence. They won't show the lunar module landing. They won't show a single fucking thing ever happening on this fucking goddamn planet that will show momentum failing to give the right answer. Ever, ever, ever. They'll never fail. They'll never show an experiment showing where MGT gets a wrong answer. Show the experiment. Show the moon orbiting. Show something orbiting where MGT doesn't work perfectly.
A flat earther who repeats debunked lies. Everyone is free to repeat this experiment or do any variation they think is fit, and it would be...
Yes, do the variation I suggested and see if you can tell the difference, okay? And do it with a dramatic difference, right? Put a one mass four times the distance away on the lever. Or even eight times further out on the lever. Put a 1/8 mass. Okay. And do the experiment. And you'll see that, oh yeah, duh, it weighs the same. Of course it feels the same because it weighs the same. Yes, the 1/8 mass way out here, 8 units of distance away, will weigh the same as the one mass here. Right? So the one mass is here, or the 1/8 mass is way the fuck out here. Right, way over here. And do you really think when you press on this lever on the other side, this isn't going to feel just as heavy as the one mass here? It's exactly what levers do. That's what levers have been doing for thousands of years, is making those two things exactly the same. They will feel the same because they can do the same work. Exactly the same work will be accomplished by moving the 1/8 pressure, okay, 8 times faster than the one. Exactly the same thing. Just what I said. 8 people, okay, you know, pushing with, what's a good number? Well, I can go with 1 pound of pressure is the same, okay, as whatever, 4 people pushing with 1/2 pound or, you know, however you want to do it. It's the same difference. Ugh. 1,000 people pushing with 1 pound of pressure is the same as 1 person pushing with 1,000 pounds of pressure. Same difference, velocity. Same thing. Same capacity to move electrons and protons in the universe. No difference in their capacity to make other objects move. It's just mass and velocity and time. And he has done nothing to prove otherwise. He's just a lying shyster. He won't admit he has no evidence. He has no fucking supporting evidence for anything he's saying but obscure fakery. Pretending, it's the same energy in both wheels, even though
duh, the source of energy is showing you it's a different amount of energy in both wheels. All right. Yeah, slime ball.
Interesting to see what results others obtain. Thank you for watching, and please don't just take what Gary says on face value.
And again, I've never stated that anybody should ever take anything I say on face fucking value. That's why I go to the tedious trouble of explaining everything, is so you can understand it so as clearly as I understand it. It's so fucking obvious. I'm just saying every fucking thing I'm saying is fucking obvious. It is the goddamn truth. I'm not telling you to believe anything. You can watch it happen in the experiments. So, you know, fuck this bullshit that I'm suggesting anybody should just accept the dogma. You're the one saying, believe me, because I did one tiny, obscure little, I put round things into clay. Brozo saying, believe me, it's kinetic energy, it proves it. When, yeah, 999 other experiments say, fuck you, that's stupid. The Mythbusters, for example. So, what a pile of shit. These fucking liars. Despicables. All right, anyway, so enough of that. So, that'll do. All right, till the next time and such. But again, this fucking coward making these accusations, these personal attacks, and he doesn't have the guts to put his name on it. He'll sit there and use my real name, which, you know, why should you be familiar? Why should you abuse my identity, the fact that my identity has leaked out, when I'm not allowed to do it to you, fuckhead? What's your real name, Eric or something? Let me put your fucking putrid puke name in a fucking video title, you fucking little weasel. God, you piece of scum. Anyway, till the next time and such. This has been another in a series, a long series of videos pointing out, yes, this is Planet of the Dumbass. You know, I should start the videos with, good morning, dumbassiites! What fucking stupid moronic thing are you defending today? Fucking retards. I mean, really, this is pathetic. I mean, obviously physics made gigantic mistakes. I mean, they misidentified plus and minus and never fixed it. And clearly, this was just a waste. This stupid 1/2 mv squared was nonsense, was introduced. It never did anything valuable. It didn't create a better understanding of reality. It was always nonsensical. And here they still won't let it go, even though they have zero evidence. Zero, zero, zero evidence for it. Zero evidence. They'll never show you twice the velocity creating four times the energy. They'll never show you an experiment where twice the velocity creates four times the energy. Ever. Because it doesn't fucking happen. Get out of here now. All right, so till the next time and such.